Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move all of us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives. Ultimately, answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with Michelle Williams. You may know Michelle best as a member of Destiny's Child, one of the top female R&B groups of all time. I'm excited, though, for you to hear from Michelle today because, as she mentions in this episode, she felt blessed to be a part of the group and the enormous fame and success they experienced. But she also points out that you can gain all the success in the world and it doesn't necessarily mean your mental wellness is good. She admits that in the midst of her fruitful career, which we can all agree was something incredible, she was also struggling with low moods, anxiety, and depression. And this conversation, which is raw and honest and something that I found to be so helpful for me, Michelle opens up to us about her personal mental health journey, how she faced it, and how she believes it led her to live out the incredible story God is writing for her life. In this episode, though, Michelle and I also talk about the difference between a mental illness and mental response, getting to the root of our emotional reactions and responses to life. We also talk about why we need to debunk labels. Also, where we can find courage to face mental illness and our responses to mental illness. Also, how to best show up for a friend or loved one who is battling with mental illness. And finally, Michelle's new book, Checking In, How Getting Real About Depression Saved My Life. That's the title. And she adds, and can save yours, which is out now. Well, all right. You all know what is coming next. It's time for the weekly questions. I invite you to respond on Instagram at Hope Still Wins in the comments, or you can direct message us if you want to keep it more private. The team and I have been loving hearing from you and getting to connect with all of you as this podcast has continued. We want to encourage you to continue to connect during the weekly episodes. So after you listen to this week's conversation, we'd love to know, how do you check in on your mental wellness? Who do you check in with, and or where do you turn to check in? This is something reflective. This is a question that's meant to not only have you respond to us, but also ask yourself, when you're at your low or when you're feeling off, who do you lean on, and how do you find that checking in point with yourself? I believe this is such an important topic to discuss, and I want to thank all of you for taking the time, especially those who choose to join the conversation with us. Many of you wrote in to answer the question proposed in episode 4 with Louis Giglio, and I want to take a couple moments before we jump in with Michelle to talk about your responses. As a reminder, the question was, what practice do you use to recenter your mind when you feel fear, worry, insecurity, or anxiety creeping in? Carol C. said, trust in Jesus and acknowledge he is in control. There's a lot of power in that statement that Carol made. Trust in Jesus and acknowledge he is in control. I always like to follow a guy named Richard Rohr, and he has five life truths. One of those is recognize that we are not in control. I think no matter what your faith background, we can all agree that very rarely do we feel like we have control over our lives. And when we do, that control quickly feels like it slips away. So incredible response from Carol. Kevin W. said, remember all I have to be grateful for and enjoy the outdoors. Kevin shared a word here that I've been really focusing on recently, grateful, gratitude, gratefulness. It's interesting because a buddy of mine shared with me just today, actually, that he's changing his mindset of a mindset of hope to a mindset of gratitude, because hope is still wishing for something yet to come, and gratitude is being grateful and joy-filled about the things already done and the things we already have. So there's an interesting mix there between hope and gratitude, something powerful in Kevin's words. Rachel N. Finally shares, list the attributes of God from A to Z. Ask my husband to pray over me and crank up some worship music. Well, what if we just preached over ourselves that we are loved by a God, accepted by a God above, accepted by the one in control, that we are cared for, already known, already loved, already invited in by a God above? How much better would life get? Come on now, let's go. Well, hey, we'd love to hear from you this week on the question. We're thankful for all of you who have responded so far. Thank you again for everyone who submitted responses. The team and I love hearing from you and learning alongside of all of you. All right. Well, hey, I'll start getting on with the show and stop dragging this any further. I know you all are very excited to hear from the one and only Michelle Williams. So let's get started with Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams, thank you for coming on Hope Still Wins. This is a pleasure for us all.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Michelle, I'm sure you've been spending a lot of time talking about your most recent project. And so it just does. It means a lot that you came here to discuss it and hopefully dig in through a couple different avenues that you haven't spoken about before.
Absolutely.
The most recent project you did is a book talking about mental illness. Why was this kind of the next chapter of your life? Why was this the message that you had to get out there?
You know what? I just wanted to help people put language in place, period, about their mental health, and not to separate the head and mind from, it's like, don't set it on a table, a separate table, than you do the rest of your body. It's part of the body. Yeah. And so I also wanted to help people put language to, oh, wow, this is what I've been feeling. I've been getting a lot of those messages. Actually, yesterday, a young lady is like, oh my gosh, I think you wrote my life. And here I am thinking, well, let me see what happens. Me thinking I'm the only person that's gone through it. But I was like, let me put some language, because over the years, people have let me know that I'm not alone. So I said, okay, well, with my platform, what is one of my responsibilities? And I believe one of my responsibilities and call is to just tell my testimony, tell my story.
One of the questions that was written in, and it goes off of this, goes on the concept that you talk about in your book, but it's about checking in. And one of the questions was, how do we know when we're mentally unhealthy? Like, what are the signs? Like, what is it that we can identify in ourselves when we're mentally unhealthy?
Mm-hmm. So I don't want anybody to feel like because you're successful, then that means your emotional and mental health is amazing. Sometimes our dysfunction actually pushed us to, my dysfunction pushed me into doing what I'm doing, meaning the dysfunctional thought, if I can just leave this house and go to college and get a job bringing in six figures a year. You know, it's like you want to escape your surroundings. You want to escape your environment, but you don't address that underlying trauma, though, that underlying wound, that underlying pain. I was reading a book about emotional maturity, and it was like the iceberg. So it's like we address the surface, but we don't address that root that's really under the water.
I just listened to a podcast this morning about mental health. It seems to be something we're more familiar with talking about, and at least we're willing to talk about. Yet, even for me, somebody who has gone to therapy for years, and who has struggled at previous seasons of my life with depression that's been identified. I still feel, in a sense, I mean, I honestly think my platform allows me to feel a little bit more comfortable to talk about it because more people reach out and say, oh yeah, me too. But outside of that, I still feel a sense of shame when it comes to talking about my mental health, especially when I'm struggling. Why is that?
A sense of shame? I just feel like it's something, the sense of shame, because a part of us still, I don't know if it's programming or the way we were shaped for acceptance. And if I'm like everybody else, and it seems like, but not be, and just because you've had something happen to you that you're trying to address doesn't mean you're quote unquote crazy. It doesn't mean something is wrong with you. It's you saying, I want to have, a lot of us are spiritually mature. A lot of us have great jobs, but emotionally we're a wreck. So it's like, I think a lot of the shame comes with, okay, well, let me keep it a secret because I'm afraid of what people will really think if I tell them, man, I've been struggling with this pain or these unmet needs, you know.
Michelle's book that came out May 25th is called Checking In, How Getting Real About Depression Saved My Life and Can Save Yours. So based off of what we just talked about, what does getting real about depression mean to you? How do you define that?
Getting real about depression is, okay, well, first and foremost, me disclosing it in a safe place or safe with a safe person that's not going to judge is, you know, I think for me, once my responses became to the point where people, where I now look back and be like, that was an overreaction. Well, getting down to the root of the reaction and the response, I was like, I've got to get a hold of this and get some help. Because just because we've had pain or trauma, whether it was inflicted upon us or something that we witnessed, does not give you the right to defile and hurt other people because of your pain. It's like, do you want friends or do you want people to run when they see you? Because they're like, oh my gosh, this person is going to be grumpy and angry. Oh my God, this person might cuss you out. It's like, No, you don't want people avoiding you because you're avoiding your pain.
The strength to press into that pain is something I want to transition into. And in fact, many of us, I mean, the stat is 50% of people will be diagnosed with mental illness in our lifetime. So either yourself or somebody you know, the chances are, will be struggling and be fighting something. So how do we lean into it then, Michelle? How do we confront it?
Now, I'm going to say something that might stir up some controversy.
That's okay.
Yes, people are going to be diagnosed with a mental illness. But is it an illness or a response? Depression and anxiety, say those two, are those illnesses or responses?
It's a response, right? I mean, especially if we're talking about what you just said with when it comes to trauma.
Yeah. So depression is a response or sends a signal that something is going on here. Now, there are injuries that can, like the other day, in April, I had a concussion, Ben, concussion and whiplash. But because it was so painful and it made me irritable, I could see how that could lead to depression for people that have chronic pain. Depression is a response to certain things. My depression has been a response to pain, trauma, verbal abuse, bullying, pain from unmet needs from childhood that now were showing symptoms in my adulthood. It was a response. That's me. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't have a license, but I'm going to school this fall for it in psychology.
Heck yeah.
But I wanted us to be careful of too, of what we label things to be.
Why? Can I ask why to that? Like, why is it so important to be careful of the label?
Well, there's a chapter in my book where I talk about labels, and I began to take on the posture of those labels. You're unlovable. Nobody likes you. So if I take on the label of depressed, bipolar, anxious, PTSD, I believe my spirit and body will come into alignment with those things. Now, do I believe there are certain things we can become aware of to work through them and process through them? Because I feel like, you know, the more and more I've talked about it, people in my family are like, Michelle, you do know depression runs on the maternal side of your family. Well, guess what? It can stop with me. Thank you for the information. So what do we do with the information?
Ready for some fireworks? No, not the ones popping off outside your window until 2 a.m. We're talking about the fireworks you feel when you finally get insurance coverage. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. You can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And you can save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you. They're on your side, not the insurance company. So you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google, and eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to their award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirements for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. I bet you're wondering how hard this process is to even get life insurance. Well, here's the deal. My friends, I have great news. Getting started is super easy. First, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. How awesome is that? Policy Genius never sells your information to other companies, and they don't add on extra fees. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Hey, come on, let's go back to the show. With everything you're saying here, there's a word that is kind of coming in. There's a courage, though, that you found. Where does your courage come from?
Woo! The courage comes from not being afraid, which, well, how do you not be afraid? You can't. I was so desperate for help, Ben. I was so desperate for answers. And when I got the answers and when I started applying certain things that were even just practical that have saved my life and changed my life, I'm like, I've got to tell everybody about this. And I've also got to tell people about the God who loved me unconditionally, who saw me through this, who still decided to say, I'm going to use what could have destroyed you. I'm going to use this to get the glory. And now you're going to go out here and you're going to tell everybody about it.
It's interesting. We've talked in previous weeks here about connecting with self, others, romance, and God. And you've just mentioned that God walked with you and helped you through this. So what does it look like in these seasons? I have a question down here that was written in that says, when you're in the midst of the season of, you know, one of the reactions to a trauma, how do you check in with God? And then how do you have hope in pursuing anything greater when all you feel like doing is hiding and going away?
Listen, Ben, and everyone listening, I know what it's like where I stayed in the bed for weeks. I just got up to use the bathroom. You notice I didn't say I got up to brush my teeth or shower. I got up to like, okay, you know, you got to use the bathroom. I couldn't even eat. So I know what that weight is like. The crazy thing is I love sleeping with weighted blankets. They just help me fall asleep faster. So it's like, you like weight, but it felt like my soul had a weighted blanket on it. It felt like my heart, it just felt, and it felt like I was detached from reality. And I just remember just violently like, no more, God, you've got to help me. What do I do? And I'm finding answers day by day. And it's a choice that I'm making, because depression is a thief. It robs you of joy. It robs you of productivity. It robs you of connection. And we are wired in love. We are wired for love. We are wired for connection. And the enemy does his job. He steals, kills, and destroys. I believe depression is one of those things he uses to steal, kill, and destroy. I believe that, because I know what it was like for me. I know when I was so hopeless, where I was making a deal with God. Like, God, I've lived a good life. I'm good. You can take me now.
How do you identify that you're in it? Like, how do you know? Because it's so oftentimes, I mean, I have friends around me or family around me that are struggling, yet they haven't quite identified it. They can't put any language to it. They don't know that they're hurting until almost it's too late.
I think for me was willing to welcome the process and finding out what was the root of this stuff. That was for me the root of hopelessness, because of the lies that I chose to believe. I chose to believe I have no value. I chose to believe I'm not lovable. I mean, I was told one day, I wish you were the blood stain on the sheets. What? So when you break that down, you wish I wasn't here. And because I am here, am I a burden? I heard I was the oops baby, meaning we didn't really plan for you. Now, I'm not saying this to throw family under the bus, but some of the root of that depression was, I never forgot that, because you really take to heart what family says, the people that brought you here. You kind of take to heart and you believe it because they said it almost. No matter if it's good or bad, you believe it. When you think of a parent that pushes their child to greatness in sports and athletics, their parents believed in them so much, their parents told them every day, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great. Some of them have gone on to be Hall of Famer athletes, right? Think of Serena Williams. Her dad pushed her into greatness, even when she was irritated. Like, what? Okay, you can have that same thing growing up. You're nothing, you're a value. I wish you weren't even here. So what does that tell that child? I'm of no value. I'm a burden. So you take that posture on. If you don't get healing from that, you take the posture on. And it's like even your shoulders kind of hunch over. You don't walk confidently because you feel like you're just here taking up space. So then you get into the word about, okay, what does God say about me?
It's interesting, Michelle, because so much of this story wraps around also, as you just said, one of the most, I don't know, it feels like a weak word to use, but successful, or your dreams were coming true times in your life, yet you're feeling this underneath. And so I imagine there's somebody out there listening right now who says, hey, I feel like my friends or my family, or I even sometimes look around, I feel like I have it all, right? I have the house, I have the family, maybe I don't have the family, but I have the job, or I have the hobbies, whatever it is. I feel like I have it all, yet I still feel this cavity in my chest, this hole in my heart. So Michelle, you can relate and in a sense be the narrator for this story for so many. What would you say to those people?
I felt like, I remember saying, if I can just leave home and go and be successful, it's gonna fill that gaping wound. And you find out it doesn't. And then it's like, okay, once you make a certain amount, Or it was like, we couldn't even enjoy, I think it was because of the speed in which we were working and attaining things. We didn't even sit and really think about, we just won Grammys. We just, because you're on to the next. You're always on to the next. You're always on to the next. And you don't sit and appreciate your accomplishment because you're always moving so fast. You're on to the next. And then it's like, oh, is this all it took to get here? Instead of now, Ben, everything that comes to me, I have a spirit of gratitude. Everything. Thank you, Jesus. If not, you don't appreciate what you have. You don't take a moment to like, wow, I know we're not supposed to dwell on the past, but I've come a long way. In spite of, gratitude is a word that's being used a lot, but it's a real thing to sit in some gratitude that you were able to accomplish what you accomplished. And I don't mean just those who are public figures. You are able to, though somebody listening right now, you're juggling being a wife and three kids and everything is taken care of. That's an accomplishment. Or that husband who's able to provide, and y'all can go to Chick-fil-A if you want to once or twice a week. That's like, you look back like, man, because all we could eat was noodles. Really have some gratitude versus thinking of it. This is just a job. This is what I'm supposed to do. No, this is what we get to do.
So many, and I've struggled with this over the last 2 years. I kind of had my moment of fame, and then that ended for me. And so then the question becomes, am I okay with that? Or what can I pursue to keep it going? And for a while in my life, I was reaching for things to keep it going, to try to find it, because I felt like if I became famous enough or if I became successful enough, then I would be satisfied. Yet it never worked. And at some point, thanks to some great friends, some great family, and a therapist, I was told pretty directly, you need to stop the chase for something that will never fulfill. Michelle, would you agree with that? I mean,
yeah, because we start, it's performance. If I do this, then that will happen. Performers, when you perform, if I perform well enough, I get an applause. If I perform well enough, I get invited back. If on your job, if you perform well enough, you get a bonus. If I do this for my man, he'll love me. If I get good grades, my parents will show that they accept me. A lot of us are so performance oriented because people do show you, I'll love you if, I'll provide this for you if. So a lot of us have even taken on jobs based on that need of affection, affirmation, acceptance that you didn't get as a child either.
What's the alternative then? What's the opposite?
The alternative is not in, it's the why. Why do you want the success, Tanitra Michelle Williams? Mine was to escape. Because if I leave this house and make money, I don't have to worry about all this again. Nothing is wrong with saying, if I go to college, I'm going to have this type of success. Or if I'm an entrepreneur and I keep grinding, I'm going to be a millionaire one day. Nothing is wrong with it. I think it's the why that we have to really, really process. Mine was to escape. And that depression followed me anyway. My depression started in the seventh grade, by the way. It was the seventh grade. And that depression followed me for a long time.
Mine is to belong. I'll share that with you.
Oh, Ben, yes. And so there was someone I know, a male artist, and I could sense it. He is doing this so much because you know what it is? We're trying to show people at home, na 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 boo boo, I made it, even though you bullied me. Or like, what? They're still not going to respect you. So the acceptance, the respect versus I'm going to do this because God, I know you're going to bless me and I'm going to be able to give to other people. I'm going to be able to maybe uplift others versus I'm doing this to show y'all that I'm at the Billboard Awards now. I get it, Ben. The acceptance thing is like you were probably different growing up and you never fit in.
Isn't it interesting, Michelle? The people that we grow up with and the people that surrounded us as youths, still the ones that can have not only the just, I would say, to generalize it, the greatest impact on us still today, even when maybe we no longer live in that town or we no longer see those people, their comments, their words, their approval still seems to matter the most.
Seems to matter the most versus the people that you don't even know who are saying, Ben, this podcast is impacting my life. If it wasn't for this weekly podcast, I don't know where I'd be. Let's put stock into the impact that we're going to make to the world. Some of us, we were to stand out because we are to go out into the world and make impact and make a difference in people's lives.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drink is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. Well, Michelle, two last questions before we let you go here. I really appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time.
And this is cementing why I do what I do. Every podcast that I get, it's like it, by the way, it strengthens me even more and lets me know I'm doing the right thing. I'm in the right place because I worried if I stop music, what is going to happen?
You're in the right place. You're making an impact.
Thank you, friend. Thank you.
In fact, I had a call yesterday with a young lady who's struggling, and she reminded me of something that we talked about years before, and it reminded me of you, and I put it down here in my show notes for today. I wanted to share it with you. If we believe here at Hope Still Wins that if one person is impacted in a positive way from this show, then it's all been worth it. Even we want millions of people, but if one person, I can guarantee you, Michelle, I can promise you that one, at least one person is impacted by your life in a positive way. And that's something incredible.
So good. That's so good. And then that one person will go with their transformation and impact others. So it is a domino. It is going to be a domino effect.
All right. Two last questions here that I want to ask you before we let you go. Well, three. The final question is always the same, but these two. What did your friends, what did the most helpful people do in your life when you felt like you couldn't move forward? What were the things, what were the habits, the words, or maybe the lack of words that they did that made you say thank you, even if it wasn't in the moment?
So I will say this. Presence, meaning not gifts, but just somebody sitting with me. Even in silence, that was awesome. And I told my cousin the other day, I thanked her for not like babying me. I thanked her because I was mad at folks like, y'all aren't even gonna help me get in the shower. You guys know I'm losing weight. How come you guys didn't bring me food? Now some did, but then there were those that were like, I got to empower her to want to live. So I can't do this for her. I literally thanked somebody the other day for not, like, you know, literally like babying me. Now, somebody could maybe get offended by that, but it made me get up because I remember my doctor was saying, okay, if you can get up and go make some oatmeal, great, because you need nourishment. And then they said, if you have to get back in the bed, that's okay. Or if you can you get up and just brush your teeth? If you have to get back in the bed, can you? So what I started to do, Ben, I started to get up and brush my teeth and I had to get back in the bed. Then days later, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get up, brush my teeth and take a shower. Okay, I might have to get back in the bed because I'm so tired. Okay, then I started to say, I'm going to get up, brush my teeth, take a shower. But instead of getting back in the bed, I'm going to sit on the sofa. So I had to take those practical baby steps of living life. Then I said, I did all what I just named. And then I got on the phone and called the trainer. So a minimum of 3 times a week, we just started working out. And then if I had to come home, shower, and get back in the bed, that's what I did. But it got, so I'm encouraging people, the weight of depression, it's like the reason why people quit is because you wake up thinking about tomorrow, or you wake up thinking about 8 p.m. versus I woke up at 6 a.m. What can I do now in this moment? So I began to just take those small steps. And then before you know it, I was like doing laundry, doing my hair, going to get my brows done, doing this, doing that. But I'm just telling people, like, even if you just are like, listen, brushing my teeth today was an accomplishment. I salute you because I know what it's like. But now just kind of push yourself to do a little more. And begin to live life and do not let depression rob you of life.
Michelle, you spoke about it early on, and I personally, and this podcast isn't always based on it, but it's something that is an undertone in my life, or an overtone, is a belief that there is a God that loves us, that created us on a purpose, and there is a God that calls us to tell our story for others and for ourselves. You've spoken about God on this podcast, and I want to ask you, how do we live out God's story for our lives? How do we write it? How do we tell it? How do we see the beauty in it? As most people listening today, all people, I believe, have experienced a pain and are struggling at some level.
Whew. I've heard this said, and it's true. It's like sometimes certain circumstances around you won't change, but you can change. And it makes your responses to the circumstances different. And then you have the power to change the circumstance because it changed you versus waiting on the circumstance to change. Because what I don't want to happen are circumstances to change, but I remain the same person. I'd rather be a changed person that can speak to the circumstance, that can move the mountain, versus the circumstance changing, but I still remain the same defeated, hopeless person.
You are an incredible human, Michelle. I'm thankful. And I know a lot of people are going to be telling you this, and I want to tell you it, and I mean it. I'm thankful that you're telling your story, and I'm thankful that God has chosen you to tell this story, because I know that this is on purpose and for a purpose. And it leads me to my final question that I ask every guest on this podcast. It's kind of the name of the podcast. Take as long as you want with it, or as short as you want with it. But the question that we ask everybody, Michelle, is this. And before I ask, I want to promote your book one more time. The book is called Checking In, How Getting Real About Depression Saved My Life and Can Save Yours, from Michelle Williams. It was released on May 25th. It is out right now, and it is worth the read. Michelle Williams, do you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Ooh! Hope definitely wins. Hope is the reason why a lot of us have chosen life, because something in us said there's more. That's it for me.
Wow. That's all we need. Michelle Williams, thank you for coming on Hope Still Wins. Thank you for joining all of us. It's a pleasure, and we wish you the best as you move forward in life.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, I think you did. I know you did. Please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. Also, a huge deal for us would be if you subscribe to the show, maybe pass it on to a friend who you know could hear it, learn from Michelle, and learn from all of our guests previously and the ones to come. As a reminder, our question from this episode is, how do you check in with your mental wellness? Who do you check in with, and or where do you turn to check in? We're eager, so eager to hear from you all and your responses. We invite you to join us in this conversation, and we'll be reading your responses at a later episode. All right. Well, hey, friends, that's it for today. Thank you again for joining Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and I'll see you next week.